You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. Some people think planning for the non-financial side of retirement is a nice to do. How hard could it be, they say? Will it really make much of a difference? I think I should be fine. Well, I beg to differ, and I think you can also learn a lot by taking a look at the retirement experiences around you. Family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors. What have they done in retirement? What mistakes did they make? And what could you learn from them? Sometimes those mistakes have pretty significant consequences. Our guest today has written a book about his family experience that changed how he sees retirement and how he helps his clients. Tony Hixon is the author of Retirement Stepping Stones, Find Meaning, Live with Purpose, and Leave a Legacy. Tony Hixon is a co-founder and chief operating officer of Hixon Zerker Capital Management. He's been providing financial advice to his firm's clients since 2002 and providing financial advisory services since 1999. Prior to co-founding his firm, Tony worked at a CPA firm specializing in accounting, tax planning, and tax preparation for high net worth individuals. You joined us today from Ohio. Tony, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Joe, for having me on the podcast. Looking forward to our conversation today.
Same here. So first off, what inspired you to write your book, Retirement Stepping Stones?
Well, certainly a great question. And it's one that really demands kind of a larger background story to the why I decided to write this book. And it really starts with my mom. And backtrack to kind of her career. And she was a registered nurse and she got involved in nursing late 70s, early 80s, and kind of navigated that journey and discovered that having those types of nursing shifts at the hospital was not conducive to maintaining a good family. She was working second shift and third shift and all over the place. And soon she found herself looking for employment elsewhere or for a more stable 8-to-5 type situation. And she landed a home health agency nearby. And by the time my sister and I were a little bit older, she landed a job in hospice. And I guess, Joe, a question for you. Do you know what hospice is, or do I need to explain that a bit further?
I do, but some listening may not be familiar with it, so it would probably help.
Yeah. So hospice basically is when the healthcare industry has cared for you to the extent of their capabilities, and they have run out of options, and they really desire for the patient to go home and be surrounded by familiar surroundings in their home and also by loved ones. And a hospice agency is called to care for that end of life term by providing the best care that they know how as they transition from this life to the next. So not a career for a lot of people. It's kind of a calling, if at best, to be able to have a heart and for that type of a career where basically you're making friends with the patient and loved ones and all for them to pass away, for you to go to the visitation, the funeral, and rinse and repeat and do it all over again the following day and the following week. So as you can imagine, after about 15, 20 years of that, my mom, that's very emotionally and relationally taxing. And around the mid-2000s or so, there was an initiative by an administration to make medical records electronic. And one thing that you got to know about my mom is she was not technologically savvy. She was really great at caring for patients at bedside. And the last thing that she had time or desire to spend time on was learning how to use a computer. And so as this digitization of medical records really began to take hold, she found herself behind a desk more than she really desired. And she really wanted to spend more time with patients. And so it began this kind of mental gymnastics in her mind of, oh man, I am burnt. I am ready to retire. I'm a financial advisor, been in the financial advising industry since 2002, so going on year 19 here. And however, I was not her primary financial advisor. her and my dad, they use someone else. It's good to separate family from business. And I respected that. So they contacted their primary financial advisor and had this person run the numbers. And sure enough, all the boxes were checked quantitatively from the numbers perspective, green light, you can retire. But because they had respect for the industry that I had chosen in my career, they decided to allow me to provide a second opinion and take a look under the hood, see what was going on, and see if I would agree with that green light analysis. And so I did. My retirement projection software to work and my designations and degrees and my team. And from a quantitative standpoint, we agreed with the primary financial advisor. I checked all the boxes. My dad and her, they still owned a family farm. They were going to be making some income off of that. I knew having, with her being my mom, I knew she was burnt out. So it made a lot of sense to me to also give her the green light and to retire. So in the fall of 2010, she did it. She chose to make that leap from hospice care to retirement. And at first, pretty excited. And all the things that you'd want to see in a retiree were being realized. She was happy and stress, a little less stress. But after a few weeks that turned into months, she began to lose meaning. And quite honestly, she began to lose purpose. And she found herself having cared for so many in her career to now not having anyone needing to be cared for at all. My dad was still employed. He hadn't retired yet. It was winter and sun was starting to go behind the clouds as winter took hold. And she began to sink into a downward spiral of anxiety and depression as the decision to retire actually became her biggest regret. And as she navigated this time, there was not a lot of us who understood the depth that the anxiety and depression had in her. And try as she might to talk to her friends or her pastor or to journal or to pray, she could not quite find the peace that she sought. And yet in her hospice career, she saw all of her patients find that peace as they transitioned from this life to the next. So in some twisted, depressed way, she decided that the peace that she sought would be best expressed in choosing to take her life. And on March 22nd, 2011, she chose to commit suicide. She took her life. And the ripple effects of that would be felt and have been felt for the last 10 years, if not for generations, as my kids, her grandkids, were my two daughters were ages 5 and 3 at the time, and my son, my wife was 7 months pregnant when she made that choice, so they never got to meet. So I felt it appropriate, based on the learnings that I had experienced personally with that tragedy, to put it in book form. I'd heard it said over the years that it's important that we turn our tragedies into triumph and our stumbling blocks into stepping stones. And while that decision that my mom made 10 years ago, I could have let define me, I gave her the green light, Joe. I was one of the financial advisors who said this was the right step for you. I could have chosen a life of regret and of guilt, wondering why I would have given her such horrible advice. But instead, I'm choosing to get better and not to get bitter. I'm choosing to use this story to help others, to not allow the last decision that my mom made to define her, but rather to leave a legacy so that others who pick up a copy of this book will be able to learn from mistakes that may have been made so that they might not be repeated and they may step into retirement very prepared for what's next.
Well, Tony, very sorry for your loss, and I really appreciate you sharing that story because I think it can help many of us understand what the stakes are with these decisions, and really appreciate what you're doing with the story. So you mentioned stumbling blocks. Which are the most difficult ones that you see people facing in retirement?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, you retire one day, and basically the last day they throw you a party, and your email is still active, and you get probably, 300 emails depending on the day. And the party's over, the cake has been eaten, you've had the weekend to kind of recoup, and Monday morning rolls around, and you open up that email account, that's been deactivated and you switch to your personal email and there's only two there and both of them are junk. So it kind of messes a little bit with your mind. You're not quite sure what this new phase of life should look like. You've had the ideal of what retirement will be on all the commercials and the Americanization of what retirement is, but perhaps you haven't done the correct work on what you're retiring to. You certainly know what you're retiring from, but you don't necessarily have an idea of what you're retiring to. So that loss of meaning and purpose is certainly a stumbling block that we see many clients face in retirement, just not knowing for sure if they're needed anymore. I think another example, Joe, would be a loss of connection. And let's face it, you know, 25, round up to 30 years into your career, you've built a social connection, relationships within your office, whether it be in your department or your team. You might go out on a Tuesday night to go bowling. You might spend some time volunteering together at a United Way event. And you've got this built-in connection, this built-in social structure that existed throughout your career. And all of a sudden, on that random Tuesday morning, that may not be in existence. And it's basically you. And if you're married, your spouse. And it's interesting to note that divorce rates within the first 2 years of retirement are actually higher than national averages. It's called the gray divorce in our terminology. And if you don't have those structures or networks in place, you basically find yourself watching TV and staring at your spouse, wondering what possibly is next. And then the last stumbling block I think many retirees will face, it's an ideal. I'm so burnt out on my career. I'm so ready to move on. And you get there. I don't know if you've ever been on a vacation and taking your family, Joe, and you get there and it's like, it's just not what it's cracked up to be. And that can be the same feeling that retirees face when they get to retirement. The ideals of golfing and spending time with the grandkids, that fills a bit of the time, but not all of the time. And retirement ends up just not being all that it's cracked up to be.
There's always a gap between theory and practice.
That's well said. Agreed.
So fortunately, you outlined some solutions in your book, The Stepping Stones. What's one or two of the stepping stones that you think are the most important?
So if we think back to the stumbling block of loss of purpose, loss of meaning, what I've really discovered over the past 10 years since losing mom is it's important to help my clients from a financial perspective. Yes, I have all of those degrees and designations. That's vastly important. But it's also vastly important to help clients identify their values, to understand what is meaningful to them. They've spent so long focused on 40 to 50 hours of work life. Have they ever stepped back and discovered and done the hard work of identifying really what's important to them? Perhaps creativity, or perhaps religious activities, or being involved in some volunteer work might be some of those values that are important to them. But if they've gotten to retirement without having done the hard work of discovering what those values are, that loss of purpose can really trump that stepping stone. Another stepping stone that we can turn a stumbling block into, the loss of connection. Well, I mean, to turn that into a stepping stone, plan to connect. Find that local group of, whether it be in your faith community, or whether it be golfing on Tuesday evenings with a retirement community, or whether it be getting involved in your local YMCA or your church, or that bridge club or that tennis club, planning to make those connections and continuing that social structure is super important. And then lastly, we talked about that stumbling block of retirement being not what it's cracked up to be. Well, that's where we highly suggest coming up with what we call a plan B. If it's not what it's quite what you expected, well, before pulling the trigger of retirement, I think identifying what a plan B might be will obviously be to your advantage and can turn that stumbling block into a stepping stone.
So in listening to you, it strikes me that there's a balance that needs to be monitored in planning for retirement. It's important to dream big, as you point out in the book, but it's a mistake if you only focus on the highlight reel, vision retirement. I love that phrase you had in the book, highlight reel. So how can people strike the right balance between dreaming big, but not going too far to the other extreme where they're just in that highlight reel all the time?
Yeah, such a good question. And you know what? It's so common for pre-retirees to retire and just imagine the stellar moments, the realization that you don't have to go to work anymore. And it's just exciting to think about living those bucket list moments. But when it comes to it, every day really isn't a vacation or a magical weekend at a big family reunion. In fact, these are very few and far between. And so what we often recommend is to test out what an average retirement might look like for you and plan ahead for how you'll spend your time. For example, Joe, you might take a week off and simply live your life to try out a quote staycation to see if you enjoy your current home and whether you find enough activities to keep you occupied and content. And quite honestly, if you find yourself a little bored or purposeless, think through what you might enjoy spending your time doing when you retire. Perhaps you want to pick up a new hobby or do some volunteer work or dedicate your next few years to a passion project in your community. Taking actionable steps to make these lifestyle changes before you actually retire so that you have something to retire from, to retire to, I should say, not just retiring from something. It's immensely important. In fact, it reminds me, Joe, of a story I had from an experience with a client, and not using the real names, but it's a play on words, the staycation Steve, I call him. He had a retirement bucket list he'd planned out years before. He wanted to golf the top 10 courses in the country and spend 1 week a year vacationing somewhere tropical with his wife and redo the backyard to include a pool. And these plans were very exciting, but it didn't take into account the fact that he wouldn't be golfing every day for the next 10 to 40 years. Steve hadn't truly considered this before retiring. He decided to take a staycation test drive, he would understand what retirement would really look like. So the very first day that Steve entered retirement, he panicked. He really had no idea how he wanted to spend his morning, let alone the next 5 days of the staycation that he had planned. He knew immediately there was a gap in his planning, and he wasn't quite sure how he wanted to spend his daily life. And so a great spouse that he had, his wife, Jan, they sat down that evening and he expressed his concerns. And she grabbed a pen and a notebook and said, "Hey, Steve, what can we do to think through what's next for us?" And together, they walked through their values and what was most important to them and how they wanted to spend their time. And they took note of what they most enjoyed and what they didn't enjoy. And what they came to discover is that they really enjoyed home improvement projects. Now, that's not me and my wife by any means. We end up arguing over those. But for Steve and Jan, home improvement projects were part of their plan and spending time in their expansive garden and greenhouse. And quite honestly, as a result of that conversation, Steve had originally planned to retire a year ahead of Jan. Well, they ultimately decided it would be wise for Steve to hold off another year so that they could retire together. Because Steve couldn't imagine waiting around the house all day while Jan went to work as a teacher. And they knew if they retired together, they'd be a lot happier and a lot less lonely. So they made plans to continue to expand their knowledge of gardening by taking a course or two online. And Jan suggested that Steve start to research what it might look like to have a booth at a local farmer's market in the summers. And so with this new plan, Steve felt confident that he not only accomplished the exciting travel and home renovations he's planned for, but that he would also enjoy his daily life. Dream big, but not only focus on the highlight reel.
A lot of value in test driving, as you mentioned, and we've all become experts in staycation over the last 2 years, but great example. So you mentioned before, people coming off a 25 to 30 year career. Some people really genuinely love what they do, but for other people, they hit a phase of career burnout, and that can get in the way of sound retirement planning. How does that get in the way of career burnout, and how should people address that?
Well, it really does, and it really explains my mom's situation to the T. The main problem that I see in pre-retirees as they get close to retirement, quite honestly, is burnout. In these cases, it seems like retirement is the only solution that they're desperately seeking. So after decades in their career, the pre-retirees, they're just tired of working and they're ready to transition to a stress-free life, not having to worry about keeping up with workplace politics, demands of the job. Certainly the case of my mom. She was so ready to retire that quite honestly, I think most people, including me, were surprised when she started regretting that decision. And that followed with feelings of depression when she finally stopped working. And my dad, in particular, he noticed a startling difference in her view of retirement before and after. he remembered how desperate she was to leave the burdens of her full-time job as a hospice coordinator. And yet, when she finally did get to retirement, she was super unhappy. And this confused a lot of us, including my dad. Well, many people face similar feelings in the run-up to retirement. As the workplace environment shifts and changes, they may feel frustrated that things aren't the way they used to be, or they may just feel overworked, overtired, and quite honestly, just burned out. They become so focused on retirement as the solution to the frustration that they put their blinders on. In my mom's case, she was so frustrated with the red tape and the computer work that she had to complete for her work that she wanted to retire as soon as possible. However, quite honestly, she didn't think about the fact that those connections and that sense of purpose that she had in her job wouldn't reappear after retirement. She was so focused on getting out of the rat race that she never thought about how she'd find purpose she was looking for once her career was over. So let me tell you about another story of a client of mine that I think did this somewhat well. And I should use different names for people, but we're going to call this person Slumping Steve. And Steve, basically, he was an entrepreneur through and through. He was burned out. Back to your question, burned out. No expectations of continuing to work. All he had on his retirement agenda was to rest and to spend time with loved ones and to live a life in the moment. Of course, that's often easier said than done, especially when, in Steve's case, he came from a fast-paced work environment. He'd been a business owner prior to retirement, and he always thrived in the world of entrepreneurship. Daily life was defined by a lack of routine, and he was always tackling the next big idea and balancing life and client work and managing his employees. And when he sold his business, he had nothing but high hopes for the early stages of retirement. And he assumed that transitioning into the world was the same flexibility as entrepreneurship without all the pressure of business ownership. It'd be a welcome change of pace. He viewed retirement as his next big idea, and he was up for the adventure. So he retired a few years ago in late August, and first few months, and they went well. Checked a few items off the list, and he relished waking up every day with a blank slate. For once in his life, Steve could spend his time however he wanted without the stressful demands. But winter came, and around December of that year, life couldn't have been more ideal. He had his bucket list pretty much complete. He had spent that focused time with kids and grandkids. He had tried some new restaurants. He had taken an art class. And he had planned his first holiday season, and he made plans with his wife to start renovating their house. And this gave him that spring in his step. Everyone that Steve spoke with agreed that he was doing retirement the right way. And on paper, that looked to be true. He was, after all, having the time of his life. And then the following year hit, and it really hit Steve. Usually, at that time of year, he'd be planning for his annual team retreat. He's outlining company goals and running reports and analyzing weak points, and Steve quite honestly started to miss all of that. He had gotten so caught up in the glamour of retirement that he forgot something crucial about himself. As stressful as entrepreneurship was, he really liked it. And he lived for strategy and planning and all of the things that business ownership required. And now it suddenly felt like it was gone. He felt a little lost and unsure of what was next. If Steve had taken the time to think through he wanted out of the next chapter of his life, he wouldn't have had to go through that stress. To resolve the issue, he and I worked together to identify values and passion points and purpose. We were able to get him out of that slump. But the fact that he had to go through that anxiety and quite honestly, a bit of depression could have been simply resolved by doing the hard work of addressing that burnout and not having that ideal of retirement in his mind.
It makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned before the importance of having a plan B. I find people are surprised sometimes when they learn the research shows that about 1 in 5 people unretire in the first 5 years.
Yeah.
And so what's one example of a good backup plan that you've seen?
I guess that idea kind of came from when myself and my business partner, when we launched our business back in 2002, we did some business planning, some pre-planning before we launched, and a couple of business mentors. We would talk to as many people as we could. And one of those business mentors in particular had said, you know, what if this doesn't work, you guys? What if you start this wealth management firm, it just doesn't gain traction as fast as you need? what's your plan B? And my business partner, Adam Zirker, and I, we really took that question to heart, and we developed a plan B for exiting and figuring out what would be next for us and our families. I think that that mentality and that idea is super important also for retirement. Having that backup plan B is super critical. So a couple of examples that I have is a guy that I would call Dan the Dentist. This guy, he had been a dentist for 30 years. He ran and owned his own practice. He loved his work. However, as retirement neared, he knew he didn't want the continued stress of maintaining his own practice. So he lined up a buyer. And one of the newer dentists on staff was ready to dive in head first. Dan knew he could trust him with his clients and his legacy, his patients and his legacy. So Dan's original retirement plan was to spend more time with his family and be a snowbird in Florida for half the year. He had spent a lot of years working long hours to grow his business and was ready for a well-deserved break. However, Dan also knew he liked to keep busy, and he was a bit worried about feeling like he had nothing to do in retirement, even if his schedule was full of hobbies and people he loved. So we helped Dan create a plan B that would fit his needs. So he's going to take 2 years off completely, just enjoying retirement. You know, half time is a good thing. If he started feeling bored, he was going to pivot. And he wanted to really pursue a career as a professor. He enjoyed teaching and training new dentists and his staff and thought he might be interested in doing that full time. And quite honestly, it didn't take 2 years for Dan to get bored. He got bored a little bit quicker than that. And he pursued that teaching path sooner than expected. And the opportunity at a local university opened up, and he jumped at the chance to do something that he loved. It's an example of having a plan B in place before pulling the trigger on retirement.
Thank you, Tony. That's a great example. And one last question, if you have time for it. How is legacy a consideration in retirement planning?
Yeah, such a deep and rich word. And as a financial advisor, I kind of feel I'm uniquely positioned to have a front row seat to legacy planning with my clients. And the only constant I've found across each family we work with is that there is no constant. Legacy is uniquely defined by every individual. Many people think of legacy as something that's created after they pass away. It's their estate planning documents. It's their kids and grandkids and all the great accomplishments they've had in their lifetime. But in the book, I actually argue that legacy, it can be created today. You can start now. You don't have to wait for others to define what your legacy is after you've passed on. Because Joe, if you're living a life of meaning and purpose, you're able to begin building the kind of legacy for yourself and those you love today. And I often think of my mom's legacy. And while navigating the grief that we felt as a family when she lost her battle with depression, something became very clear to me, that her legacy was so much more than her final days, her weeks, her months, and her final decision. She left a legacy in each of the lives that she touched through her long career as a hospice nurse. Her legacy shows up in the way she loved my sister and my dad and myself, or the way that she loved her grandkids, and her dedication to her church family and her community. It's made a lasting impact. So when I speak to my clients, they often focus on the financial aspect of their legacy. Having money or assets to leave to kids and grandkids, it's the primary goal. And I agree, this is certainly admirable and necessary. However, we often encourage our clients to think more deeply about the kind of emotional impact they want to make on their family and their friends and their community. We ask them questions, and I'd ask your listeners these questions. What lessons do you want to impart? How do you want people to feel when you interact with them? What do you want to be remembered for? These questions are certainly as important, if not more so, than planning for the financial strategy to care for your loved ones. Remember, you get to define your legacy. How you live each day builds the legacy that you want to leave behind. Don't be afraid to start living with purpose. It's never too late or too early to start.
Well said, Tony. Thanks so much for joining us today, sharing your story and how you approach work with your client, and a lot of very sound advice that you provided.
Yeah. Joe, thanks so much for having me on the podcast today. I certainly appreciate it.
Thanks again, Tony. Take care.
Thank you. Yep. Take care.
I appreciate Tony Hixon making the time to share his story with us and what he's doing in sharing it with others and helping people prepare more completely for life and retirement. A few takeaways for me. One is really, it underscored how important this is. So make sure you're taking a hard look at what your dreams are in retirement, but also the reality of what day-to-day living would be like, and how can you test it? Take it for a test drive, get a sense, feel for it. And you're not just looking at the dream sequence, or as he calls it, the highlight reel. You've got that in mind. It's aspirational, but you also got the on-the-ground reality of what it's like, what the rhythm of your days and weeks and months would be like, and how you want to take advantage of the freedom that you've earned. Second thing is to identify your stumbling blocks. What are the ones that are going to be in your way, and how can you anticipate them, get smarter about them, and mitigate them? Through the solutions, as he calls them, stepping stones. What are the building blocks for your great life and retirement that you're building? Thank you for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. Our mission is to help people create the retirement that they really want and that they've earned by designing their life. You can find out more at our website, retirementwisdom.com. You'll find all of our Retirement Wisdom Podcast episodes. I think we're up to around 110 right now. And it's really a free retirement school to get smarter about how you can create the retirement that you want.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.